This is FNX.
This is FNX.
Wrestling fans rejoice, for the Doctor is in. Welcome to Slamcast with your host, Dr. Nick.
Broadcasting here exclusively on the FNX network.
And now, Dr. Nick.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Dr. Nick, and welcome back to Slamcast. Today I want to jump right into this exciting topic, and I want to talk about this lingering, just ridiculous excuse as to why people get pushes in the WWE, and to why some of those who don't. Now, there's always been this ongoing thing that Vince McMahon has always had a preference towards bigger, muscular performers. Now, at one point, this was true. You had Hulk Hogan, you had Ultimate Warrior, you had Ravishing Rick Rude. You know, you had guys like Bruno Sammartino. Let's see, who else can I use as a reference? Paul Orndorff. Guys of that era of the early 80s to mid 80s, yes, he did prefer those type of performers. And he has been guilty of that even a little bit after that. You guys had, you know, you guys had like Ahmed Johnson. I wouldn't really put Diesel into that category. I mean, he was a bigger guy, but even nowadays, people still accuse Vince McMahon of preferring the bigger, muscular, overpowering types versus the people who have actual talent. And here I am going to prove that that is not necessarily true. Perfect example, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, both fantastic performers, not very big in stature. Somewhat muscular, but not very big. A perfect example of that era during the mid-80s of people who were bigger, but not necessarily the type that people accuse Vince McMahon and the company to prefer as their top guys. Jake the Snake, Brutus the Barber Beefcake, both guys that were in shape, but not necessarily that, I guess you'd say it, prototype mold that Vince was looking for. King Kong Bundy, Bam Bam Bigelow, Earthquake and Typhoon, the list goes on. Now, I would have to say that, like, the Texas Tornado, that would probably fall into that category. The mid-90s, you know, obviously, you know, The Undertaker didn't fall into that category. You had guys, you know, like I said, Bret and Shawn. You had Stone Cold Steve Austin, who was, you know, in shape, of course, but not quite the prototype, like I've said before, of, you know, the reasoning as to why somebody gets a push. Are they getting a push because of their physique, or are they getting a push because of their charisma and their actual in-ring talent? There's a lot of people who claim that Brock Lesnar, the whole reason why he got such a push, wasn't because of his actual in-ring talent. It's because Vince preferred his physique over others. That is not necessarily true, at least in my opinion. I mean, others may disagree, but look at guys like today. You have AJ Styles. You have Kevin Owens. You've had guys in the last 10, 15 years. Drew McIntyre. John Cena is sort of an exception to the rule. Andrew Test, Test, he fit into that category of physique. Big Cass, I would have to say that he falls into that category of his physique is actually being looked at over his actual in-ring talent. Guys in, you know, obviously the cruiserweight division, Matt and Jeff have never been you know, huge guys. They've always been sort of medium. Edge, Christian, Chris Jericho, Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, CM Punk. Triple H obviously falls into that category of... He's always had in-ring talent, though. He's always been one of those guys who has been very charismatic, very good on the microphone, but also had a great physique in the process. Dave Bautista, I have never really been a big fan of Bautista. I'm not saying that his in-ring talent sucks, but his physique really did get him a long way throughout the years that he was successful, at least in my opinion. Randy Orton, his kind of the total package. You know, he had charisma and ring talent and physique. But to actually say that this day and age that, you know, if you don't have a physique, you're not getting anywhere, that's... Look at Samoa Joe. Look at Kevin Owens. Look at... trying to think. Well, you know, he's not an active performer, but look at William Regal. He's always had a nice physique, but was he actually preferred for his physique, or was he picked for his actual in-ring talent? I mean, the guy's a legend. We all know this. William Regal will go down as a technical legend in the ring, a magic maker on the microphone, and, you know, just an all-around, you know, good guy. So, AJ Styles has never been a huge guy. But at the same time, AJ made up for that with his, you know, on-the-mic talent, his in-ring talent. Same thing with Matt and Jeff. Matt is obviously bigger in stature than Jeff, but Jeff makes up for that lack in actual in-ring talent. And the reason why I've came up with this topic is there was something on Facebook the other day of, in your opinion, who would you fire, who would you bring back, and I think the other one was let go. And it gave a list of people. Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega has a good physique. He's awesome on the microphone. His in-ring skills are amazing. But at the exact same time, people think that a guy like, you know, just as an example, they think a guy like Kevin Owens is, they look past his physique. I've heard a lot of people say that Kevin Owens as a performer, even Samoa Joe, both of them are lazy when it comes to actual working out. I don't see that as being true. Both of these guys, Bray Wyatt is a perfect example of a guy who's just a bigger guy in physical stature and has actually slimmed down. Same thing as Big Show. Big Show slimmed down and bulked up like nobody would believe. In my opinion, does it matter that you have a good physique and that you have a good actual ring presence? It does matter to a certain extent, yes. But if you have a good physique and you have the charisma of a rock, you know, and I don't mean the Rock as in Dwayne Johnson, but you have promo skills that are about as entertaining as watching paint dry on a wall, which, by the way, if you've listened to a Big Cass promo, it sounds like a speaking spell. It sounds like a huge robot. And it's kind of like, I would compare him to Test. Test was good in his in-ring activities, but he couldn't cut a promo worth a crap. And that's why Brock Lesnar has Paul Heyman. People like that have always had a mouthpiece to speak for them, and that's perfectly fine. Bret Hart couldn't exactly do the best promos in the world either. That's why he always had Jimmy Hart. Or, you know, if he did do a promo, he'd put on his shades, and some of them were actually kind of brutal to get through, to be honest. Shawn Michaels, I mean, he is Mr. WrestleMania, and that is, you know, a prime example of someone who did not rely on their physique to get them up the ladder of success in the business. And there are a lot of people who will state that, well, you know, 10 years ago, a guy like Kevin Owens couldn't have made it in the WWE. He wouldn't even been hired. That may be true. But the stance on WWE choosing who they're going to use to promote their product has changed dramatically. They've hired guys like Shinsuke Nakamura. They have guys like Kevin Owens. They have guys like Dean Ambrose. Look at Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins is somewhat muscular. He's fit, but he's not, you know, gigantic biceps and abs. Same thing with Dean Ambrose. Roman Reigns is another story. The size that The Rock is now, he was not that size when he was an active competitor originally. His last run that he had, you know, when he had the title and when he faced Cena, yeah, he had a bigger physique. But originally, he was somewhat muscular, but not anywhere near what he is now. He did not coast on his looks and his muscles and things like that. I mean, the guy was a literal genius when it came to one-liners. Chris Benoit, another example of someone who originally in WCW was delegated to the cruiserweight division. Eddie Guerrero. Would the either one of those guys, you know, would Eddie Guerrero have ever been WCW champion? No. Chris Jericho, another prime example of someone who, once they came to the World Wrestling Federation, was able to get out of that pigeonholed status of cruiserweight. Dean Malenko, not so much. A guy like Shane Helms, he was always kind of delegated to that cruiserweight, lightweight type of mentality. And that was okay. He fit into where, you know, others could not. So that was perfectly fine. The cruiserweight division on Monday Night Raw, 205 Live. Neville is a huge reason as to why the cruiserweight title means so much right now. Obviously, a lot of really good wrestlers have held the cruiserweight title over the years. But I would have to say that in this current product, in this day and age in WWE, you can never really say never when it comes to someone who is going to be signed by the company. A guy named Ricochet is possibly going to be signed. Will Cody Rhodes ever make his return back to the World Wrestling Entertainment? That could be a possibility at some point, too. Right now, he's doing a huge, you know, he's really kicking ass when it comes to the independents. So I don't see that happening anytime soon. CM Punk, will he return to the WWE? I don't think so in the foreseeable future. I don't think it's going to happen. Just the relationship that both of them and Triple H have had ever since he was in the company and then when he left. And I mean, I've said before and I'll say it again, CM Punk did not quit on the WWE. WWE quit on CM Punk. Ryback, and no offense to Ryback, but he was a huge waste of time. The guy could not cut a promo worth a shit. The guy was injuring people left and right, as Ahmed Johnson did when he was in the company. The guy was just all over in the ring. No matter what they did with him, it just didn't matter. Vince McMahon was very big on Ryback, I guess that would fall into the, you know, people going, oh, you know, Ryback was getting a push because of his size. He was. Let's be honest. You know, they were basically treating him as their version of Goldberg. Now, Goldberg was a completely different story. Goldberg could cut a promo. His matches were not very long, but they did not need to be very long. That was the whole point. So you can't really use that argument of Goldberg. But will we see Goldberg back in the WWE at some point after losing the title to Brock Lesnar? Which brings me to the final topic before I end this podcast. Brock Lesnar, when he was originally brought into the company, could wrestle. Can Brock still wrestle at this point, or are they just booking him in a way of doing power moves, of suplexes, and, you know, just booking him in the MMA style? Is it gaining them money? Is it getting them buy rates? Yes. Is it getting old fast? Very much. I loved the match with him and Samoa Joe. I've never been a fan of Samoa Joe, but to be completely honest with you, I enjoyed seeing Samoa Joe take it to Brock Lesnar. They really made it look like Samoa Joe could kick Brock Lesnar's ass. And I believe it. It was totally and completely 100% believable. So, where does Brock Lesnar go from here? Coming up, it's going to be at the next pay-per-view. I'm going to probably say, at least in my opinion, I think that Brock Lesnar is going to drop the title. It needs to happen. Brock supposedly is rejoining the UFC. So, anything's possible at this point. Only time will tell. But anyways, thank you for listening to the podcast. Check out the previous episodes. Check out the 90s Guy YouTube channel, which is my channel on youtube.com/90sguy. Check out the other great podcast at fnx.network. And I will see you all later.
This is FNX.